and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben Standing here. Hope you guys are doing well after that extra long hackathon played by the Wizards and 76ers on Wednesday. Didn't work out for the Wizards. They've got another shot at it. Friday night, they're rematch with the Detroit Pistons. They beat the Pistons in the second game of the season. A lot has changed for both teams since then. I'll get into that in a second. And I also want to talk about an idea I think a lot of you have been throwing out there. Could you consider starting Kelly Oubre over Markieff Morris? Or maybe more to the point, should Markieff Morris start regardless of who else would step in for him? We'll get into both of those things and perhaps some other thoughts here in just a few moments. You can, of course, find all of our podcasts on iTunes. I was up in Philadelphia for that game on Wednesday. Did the podcast while driving back, so you can hear my road tripping thoughts there. And a lot of other good stuff, of course, this week. We'll be back at it tomorrow after the game. We'll see if the Wizards can stay above 500. They're 11-10 with a loss. They are at 500. We'll see what happens. You want to find us, of course, on iTunes or anywhere else you do your podcasting. On Twitter, I am at Ben Standig, or you can email me, bstandig1@gmail.com. Let's get into this. So, look, Markieff Morris, talked about this a little bit this week. Earlier in the week, after the Wizards had lost those back-to-back collapses, in particular, one on Saturday night, this past Saturday against Portland, down 17 points, or up 17 points in the fourth quarter, and then only to lose. Went through several reasons as to what's going wrong for the Wizards. And one thing, and obviously, you can sort of start with John Wall being hurt. He's still out, not going to be back at least for another week or so, based on what the Wizards told us. I would still, you know, the original time frame was 2 weeks. It's been now maybe a little bit less than that, but I would brace yourself for a little bit more. You never know, but we'll see. But among the reasons what I said to note for the Wizards is, even though Markieff Morris is playing, it's not like he's back. It's not like he's the guy who was playing for them last year, particularly that stretch, that 2 month stretch of the season when he was, doing good work as a 3-point threat on one end, a stout or a solid defender on the other. Of course, he had the abdominal hernia surgery. He missed the early part of the season. He's now been back. He has now played, I want to say 14 games at this point. He's played 14 games. He's averaging 9 points, which, you know, again, a small sample size, but 9 points. Since the 2013-14 season, he's averaged double figures in each. Nine is not there. He's averaging 4.4 rebounds. He hasn't averaged that few since his rookie season. He's shooting 34% from three. That's not terrible, but it's not as good as the 36 he was shooting last year. He's shooting 42% from the field. Last year he was at 46%. The previous year, or at least the previous year after with the Wizards, he was at 47%. And, some of the advanced numbers are even significantly worse. And now these last two games, he and Marcin Gortat have both been benched for the fourth quarter. No minutes. I mean, last night the rebounding numbers in Philadelphia were insane. The Sixers had just an ungodly amount of boards. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid led the way. And Gortat and Morris really were not helping the cause. So we don't really need to go through the whole all the stats. You guys are watching the games. He just hasn't looked... It just hasn't looked the same. We've asked Brooks now at this point, is there anything, any injury setback? He said not that he knows of. He said he needs to see more, but, you know, look, I think when you bench a guy not once, but back-to-back games in the fourth quarter, that says a lot. Only Bradley Beal essentially played in the fourth quarter against Philadelphia. Otto played the last 22 seconds after Kelly Oubre fouled out. But Otto was the hero in the previous night at Minnesota. Morris and Gortat didn't even play. Morris was back in his hometown, and it was a total, not even a non-factor. It was less than that because of how much how Philadelphia dominated up front on both ends of the court. And so the question a lot of you have asked is, well, why not go with Kelly Oubre, right? I mean, Kelly Oubre has been whatever I might want to say too is like, hey, he's still, you know, up and down. He still makes some some mistakes when it comes to some instincts as team defense. Pardon me. And some other things. You got to give it to this for Oubre. He almost always comes out with good energy, and he's trying. And as silly as that might sound, that's kind of important. Let's not forget Scott Brooks yesterday after the game said, quote, the message, he was talking about the message about sitting guys. He goes, the message is you have to play hard. I'm a simple coach. You play and you play for your teammates. If you don't do that, I've got to figure out who will. We've done that. And then he added later, very rarely do I ever complain about our effort. We do have to come out with more energy in the first quarter. Okay, so Kelly Oubre, you know, whatever you want to say about him, he comes out with energy. He does provide that. And here's the other thing. The lineup with Otto Porter and Kelly Oubre at the forwards, along with the other starters, now I know John Wall's out, but along with the other starters, has continued to be one of the elite five-man lineups in the NBA. So it's not as if it's just sort of, hey, what's, you know, sitting Morris. It's also, hey, this other thing is working. Now, here's the thing. I think it just in terms of the Oubre part of it, for one, the start is important. So is the second unit. He's been good on the second unit. He's come into his own a little bit as a guy who can sort of be the leader of that. I mean, I think it's worked even better with Satoransky in there because you have two guys who are bringing a lot of energy, and Satoransky, you know, is something of a playmaker. He's aggressive out there, or he can be. And he certainly has been in these last three games, 18 assists, zero turnovers. But even beyond that, my biggest concern is I fear that if you have Oubre and Otto up there, they do present some matchup problems for other teams, but also they have to defend somebody. Now, Friday against Detroit, I don't think it's that big of a deal in that Detroit essentially goes with Tobias Harris at the power forward spot. And, you know, I think the Wizards, I think Otto Porter can deal with that. I mean, Harris is a little bit bigger, but it's not a, you know, I wouldn't consider him like a low post big or anything along those lines. So I think that could work. And Stanley Johnson, the other forward, you know, I think that's fine for Oubre. He's another guy who's a little bit bigger, but I think that could work. And I'm sure we'll see those matchups. But obviously there are other scenarios where, you know, I think you're going to be better off having Markieff Morris, the good version of Markieff Morris, because he's going to be able to defend some of your bigger power forwards. Now, if I'm saying, well, okay, you want Oubre to maybe stay in his own space, but you want somebody a little bit bigger. Well, what about Mike Scott, right? I mean, Mike Scott has been killing it from three. Just the other day, somebody asked Scott Brooks if Mike Scott is sort of Markieff. I don't know if it was said Markieff light, but sort of gives you some of the things that Markieff does. And Brooks said, yeah, he does. And I can see that. I mean, to some degree. I mean, Scott, and you know, he's a 3-point threat. He's banging shots. He's hitting over 50% this month. You know, he's got enough at 240 pounds. You know, he's got enough bulk. Defensively, he's not going to give you a ton. And with Gortat out there, you know, that would scare me a little bit. But you could do that. Would I do that? Probably not. I mean, again, assuming that Markieff Morris is healthy, I think I got to just sort of see this through for now. He needs to play better. My concern with Markieff Morris, to be honest, for me, I'm not saying this is what anybody else has ever told me, but for me, you know, I wonder when it comes to sitting players, you know, we all view it as, you start, you come off the bench. If you're a starter, it is a mental thing. You know you're a starter. To be a reserve is you got to check your ego a little bit at the door. Marquise Morris already, let's not forget, you know, he's got essentially a hose on his contract back in his Phoenix days. And I suspect on some level, remaining a starter has helped alleviate that to some degree. You know, we're not holding a bake sale for him. I'm just saying, you know, the universal consensus is he and his brother got a little bit screwed by the Suns by what happened in terms of they were willing to take money to stay together, and then his brother Marcus got traded. I just wonder what if you would lose Markieff, putting him on the second unit, lose him mentally. But here's the other part of it. If let's just say you do that, and then Brooks goes with the all second unit, if Markieff isn't playing well, and you've got him out there now with those other guys, you know, I don't know how that's going to work. So, for me, I wouldn't make the switch. If we show up Friday night and Scott Brooks has Oubre or Mike Scott in the starting lineup, I'm not going to say, wow, what a disaster by any stretch. I'm just saying that I think I would stay the course. I mean, look, they need him to play well. I suspect he will get it going. I think the question, what seems clear to people that I talk to is that, you know, he's not all the way back in shape from that surgery. He talked about the fact that, that it was going to take him a little bit of time to work his way back into shape. It's not like he could do that much while recovering from that hernia surgery. Okay. Well, you know, it's been a minute, and I'm not saying that he's malingerer by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, we don't know. If they don't say he's, you know, there's an issue, then all we can assume is that he's ready to go. He's out there playing and can go. I'm going to give him the slight benefit of the doubt. He still needs to get in some better shape. The larger point is the Wizards need to get something more out of that power forward spot. And if you don't want to start him, and I don't think you have to, then as long as he's going to continue to be in the struggles, the situation he's in right now, then I think you have to find ways to give Kelly Oubre and Mike Scott more minutes. Or, if you want to go with Otto and some combination of, like, you know, Beal, Meeks and Satoransky in the backcourt, you know, with Otto and Gortat or Mahimi, that's fine. But, you know, I think they've maybe at least reached a point where they can't just keep throwing Markieff out there and say, all right, you got to figure out while you're struggling. And by the way, they haven't done that. Brooks has benched him the last two fourth quarters. So that's not nothing. So anyway, to answer that question, I wouldn't go there. But I think you got to stay with Markieff Morris. I think Markieff Morris is ultimately going to be good for you as he was a year ago. And, I never forget that game one against the Celtics when, he got stepped on by Al Horford and went out of the game. At that point, the Wizards were killing it. I immediately thought, and I think others did as well, oh boy, I don't know how the Wizards are going to survive this. Because it wasn't that Markieff Morris was the best player, but he was a very tough guy to replace because of what he brought them on both ends of the court, his shooting, his strength, and they need that. So, you know, we'll see. It's without question, though, they have got to get more from him. No ifs, ands, or buts there. All right. You are listening to the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben Standig here. You can, of course, find me on Twitter at Ben Standig. The Wizards are going to be facing the Detroit Pistons. Wizards won that first meeting 115-111 on October 21st. Otto Porter at 28, John Wall at 26. And that was one of those games early on. The Wizards held on to win, but they blew a 15-point lead in the second half, and they held on there. And at that point, the Wizards were 2-0. The Pistons were 1-1. Those records don't mean anything. But that game was viewed as, hey, the Wizards are an East contender. The Pistons are a team that disappointed last year, and I think a lot of people, myself included, thought they would get back into the playoffs this year, but not necessarily contend at the top. Well, whoops, I guess that's been wrong, because the Pistons are 14-6, the second-best record in the Eastern Conference. They have won three in a row. They routed Phoenix 131-107 on Wednesday, and that came 2 days after they beat Boston by 10. And obviously, that's a pretty impressive win the way Boston's going. Then they followed it up with another win over a bad team. That's something the Wizards have struggled with this year, to take a good result and then followed up the next game with the same focus and energy. Reggie Jackson had 23 points. Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley each had 20. Now, of course, Andre Drummond has been something of a revelation this year. Let it not be said, this has now happened twice in my life, when I've gone on the record and sort of criticized Andre Drummond, he immediately has gone out and said, screw you, Ben. As a rookie, I questioned how good he would be, particularly right away. He came in and was really good for the Pistons. And then this preseason, you may recall, I talked to NBC Sports' Dan Feldman, who was a Detroit Pistons guy, and we talked about Drummond, and I'm like, boy, I don't know, man. I'm still just not that sold on this guy. I don't know if he can ever really become that dominant. And, of course, now Andre Drummond's kicking butt. He's leading the league in rebounding, which that isn't so much surprising, but he's turned into a decent enough free-throw shooter, although it's been worse lately, but a decent enough free-throw shooter in the 60s. At this point, the team's just, you know, it's a little bit harder to do the hack a Drummond type thing, although I guess with Scott Brooks after what he just did in Philly, we'll see. But also, he had a career-high 7 assists in that win this week. So, I mean, he's clearly showing a more diversified game. He's still a force inside. Gortat has done a pretty decent job on him. And I think over the years, Mahimi is showing more energy. So hopefully from the Wizards' perspective, they'll be able to maintain Drummond. But look, they just got destroyed on the boards by Embiid and Simmons. And now they're going up against the league's top rebounder. So that should be a scary proposition for sure. Also, Reggie Jackson, you know, we always think about that Reggie Jackson-John Wall matchup. That's not going to happen this time. I just talked about, would you start Markieff Morris or go with somebody else? You know, I think an interesting question is, would you start Tomas Satoransky over Tim Frazier? Both are going to play because obviously John Wall's out. But again, if you're talking about energy from the start, I mean, Satoransky delivers that and then some. And I would give you a pretty, you know, I'm just a sucker for a guy with Satoransky's size, you know, a 6'7 point guard. I mean, sign me up for that. You know, obviously he's, you know, not the quickest player out there, not the best shot. There's some limitations to what you can do, but he's pretty versatile. I would probably stick with Tim Frazier. I mean, look, he's, you know, it hasn't been too pretty so far in his absence or in Wall's absence with Frazier. But, you know, I think if the other starters are energetic, I think Frazier will get the ball to the right guy and make plays. If they're all lethargic, you know, I don't think Frazier has enough in his game to necessarily pick them up. I think the real interesting Frazier-Satoransky battle, as I talked about a bit on the drive home, is going to be what happens when Wall gets back. If Satoransky can keep this up, I don't really know how he's not the number two behind Wall, but we'll see. In any event, both should play. I would assume Frazier will continue to start, but we will see about that soon enough. All right, I'm going to call it there. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at Ben Standing, or hit me up. Email bstandig1@gmail.com. I always forget to mention, I've got a Facebook page also, Ben Standig. Go there if you like that. That would be swell. All right, Wizards against the Pistons Friday night. I will be out at Verizon Center or Capital One Arena, whatever it's called, for that. So podcast to follow. That's it. Until next time, see ya.
Everybody just Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
Long drive, long bounce shot.
Dagger!